It's good to see you today. And Daniel is feeling better. He went to the doctor and God answered a lot of prayers for him. Aren't you feeling a lot better today? And he's going to be interviewing for a new job this week. So be praying for him for that. Artie still hadn't heard about his job. Anybody? Claudia's got an interview. Who else? I know we got several other people that need jobs. Dale, he's come in. Did you see Goober out there? Okay, he'll know what you mean. All right. I wanted to remind you of this. We sent out this prayer, you know, until the Lord tells me to do it a different way, it's going to be a 7-part prayer every Thursday. And we had probably our largest number of people that came here physically. But, of course, I know, you know, 90% of y'all can't do that because you're at work, you're at other places. But I'm encouraging you at some time during that time, 11 to 1, to text or email in, carry pigeon, whatever you want to do, but send word so we'll know, because one of us is going to be sitting at the computer and we're going to pray over those things you send in. And already we're just seeing God just morph this into other things as He is answering prayer. We're seeing prayer answered right on the spot during that time. Now, I didn't come up with the time 11 to 1. That's just something I believe God put in my spirit. Nor this 7-part thing. This wasn't something months ago He said, you know, it'd be a good thing on Thursdays if we'll have a 7-part prayer. We just started doing it. And then the Lord's doing it. So that's what we're doing right now. If you haven't gone through this one from last week, I'd encourage you print it out, you know, put some holes in it so you can keep this journal of how God speaks to you at this prayer. And I'd sure like to hear about that, because the testimony we heard of what God is doing. But please, you, if you haven't done it for this past week, I encourage you to make use of this one. Okay? Plain enough. Now, I have some notes. Please don't let me forget to give you these at the end. I don't want to give them to you now because they'll be a distraction to you. But it's a copy of kind of some some items we're going to look at today. Now, here in this boot camp, we're trying to learn how to do it, learn how to be it, learn how to be what God's called us to be as a church, as a people of God at this time in history. A lot of things are going on. Now, I've got some values. I'm going to take a little detour today. We were looking at those descriptions last week, if y'all remember, of what the church is. It's a body, it's a flock, and one we added last week was it's an army. I really wanted to get into that one today, but I believe the Lord has led me in this way today. We're going to look at church values today. Church values. Values that we hold that are biblical values. And at the end of each one of these, and we're going to have to buzz through them pretty fast, because there are 11 of them, 11 statements I'm going to read to you. Things that I believe are values of the church and of our church. Oh, isn't that special? Showing off again. Okay. We have been looking at that verse in Acts 20:20. We call it 2020 vision. 2020 vision. And what does that verse say? That the church met both publicly and house to house, big and small. And so, the things we're going to think about in each of these statements, at the end of them, I want you to ask yourself the question, which category does this fit into? And how does it fit into Is it a publicly stated value that is more leans in that direction, or is it house-to-house value? So let's start. Let's get kicked off with this. Lord, we ask you to come now. Come and speak to us. May we hear and understand your word. May it be clear and plain to us today. Speak to our hearts right now. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. All right. We'll read you this first one. The church is a community of faith. The church is a community of faith. Do you believe that? All right. So, how is that true? The church is a community. Here? Even though some of the things that, even when he's speaking English, it takes me 2 days when I'm to get caught up where I can hear the and get it. You know, there. But you're right. You feel that. You feel that connection. What else? Community of faith. Church is a community of faith. Okay? And we've been speaking about that for a couple of weeks. What's one of the passages we've read it the last 2 weeks in a row? It's in the Gospel of Matthew. Come on now. This is an important one. Matthew 16. Remember the question Jesus asked of his disciples? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, what? You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, on this rock I'll build my church. Now, there's one tradition that says that makes Peter the first head of the church and all. And that's not what, that misses the whole thing, or the whole context of that passage. That passage is talking about here is the faith of a man. It's what he's just spoken, this pronouncement, and then how that faith then makes him a different person. Community of faith. Now, a couple of things I'll add into that. Community is where people live. It's people, not a building. It's where people share and share life together. You think about a community. People share life together. And let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, Jesus' great high priestly prayer. Now, which by the way, I call this the Lord's Prayer. The other one is the Lord's model prayer. This is the Lord's prayer for us. Someone begin read verses 13 through 26 in John chapter 17. Stand up and speak loud, please. Whew. That's a systematic theology right there, and we only read part of the prayer. And that's Jesus praying for you, by the way. He wasn't just praying for those people there. He's praying for all believers that will come. That's a prayer he prayed for us. That's a prayer he prayed for you this morning before you got up. From the foundation of the world. Now, what does this passage have to say about this statement? The church is a community of faith based on love. Unity. Ooh, now let's talk about unity for just a minute. What's the statement he makes about unity, about this being one? Who is one here? Well, we're one with him. But what did he say before that, before he even said that?
What we're saying, this community, this oneness, this being together. Not only are
Jesus said, I and the Father are one. But then he says, we're one with him. And we're in him. And it's all together. That's community. That's where all those lines cross. You don't know where one leaves off and the other begins. When Jesus gets a hold of you, how much does he have? Well, if he has a hold of you, he has all of you. So you're engulfed by him. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever had someone speak to you and you looked behind them just to see, was it God speaking through their voice? You bet you have. You see, it's that oneness, that community. Now, let me ask you, is that a public value or is that a house-to-house value? Okay, so you can't say one, it's one or the other. All right, let me go to the next one here. The church is based on relationships. Now, what does that mean? Meeting one another's needs. It's a personal relationship. There's that connectedness with each other. A yearning. And sometimes, Dick, it's greater than what you can describe. It's overwhelming. You know, Lord, put somebody's name on your heart. Or predictable. Oh, we're going to have it at this time. Let's gin it up. It's got to be at this time. Oh, the cameras are on. Bingo. God speaks. How many of you this week, God just put someone on your heart, on your mind to pray for, and you called them or you went to say, and you found out, hey, that's why I did that. Anybody, somebody share one that you can share publicly. And you were the delivery system, Angie. God used you. You were the delivery system. Let's go back to what she said, because that's a key point of this also, that you didn't feel like it was this overly powerful thing. We sometimes have gotten into the TV evangelist production form of Christianity, that it's got to be an overpowering production, this emotion that takes place. Now, let me give you a biblical example of that. One that we go back to, or at least I do, again and again, in Acts chapter 16. I quoted it to you several weeks ago. Repetition's the mother of learning here, so maybe you remember this. Remember now, Paul is in Philippi. The church has started there with the women down by the river, Lydia, the whole bit, you know, things are going on there. And he's going around each day, he's teaching, but he's having an aggravation, a pain in the neck. And that pain in the neck is what? A woman that has a python spirit. She's got a snake spirit. She's got a spirit of divination that's following. And what she's doing, what she's saying is kind of right, but it is, she said, you know, remember that exact, it's kind of right, but she's interrupting every place that he goes. And it's bringing the attention on her. Now, Paul didn't say, you read the context of it, he didn't get everybody in the town together and say, oh, we're going to have a deliverance service right now and get everybody watching that. No. In fact, it was the opposite of that. What did he do? He turned around and he rebuked the spirit, and the woman was delivered from that spirit. It just happened like it was the next thing like it was. Here's a big word that needs to come into American Christianity. That word right there, normal. Where we grow to expect God to move in miraculous ways. We grow to expect God as we come together. I was going to get into this next week, but as His army. Yes, an army needs a hospital. We need healing and all that. But the only reason why we need a hospital on the battlefield is so we can get well enough so we can do what? Get back in the battle. It's not so we can perpetually live in the hospital. Perpetually live in sickness. It's so we can be healed so we can get back out on the firing line and for God to use us every day. It is a 24/7 relationship. That is why we meet publicly. We gather together for encouragement publicly, big meeting, but we also meet house to house for that more personal, the most high God and the most nigh God. Jesus, yes, He is our Redeemer, but Jesus is also our friend. Do you see that? Those are not dichotomous thoughts. It's both and. Are you following me here? You seeing this? So, what Angie's talking about here, just do the next thing. And the power of God shows up. Because it shows up when He shows up. And when you invite Him into a situation, wherever it is, loving obedience, that's a great statement. Okay. We get all this, these caricatures of Christianity, most of it perpetuated by us preachers. You know, get on your all black suit, you know, and you got your big family Bible that you're carrying around, you know, and a 55-gallon, you know, container of anointing oil that you're going to go out on the street and all this crazy, crazy caricature of stuff. And God just wants to just come and invade where we already are. That's why Matthew 28, I believe the proper translation is not "go ye," but "as you go." Because the presupposition is that you're going to be going. And so wherever you go, what's happening to the kingdom of God? Going with you. You're spreading light. You're walking into a dark, dark place. Okay, so let me ask you this. The church is based on relationship. Is that a public statement or house to house statement? Oh man, y'all are. Do you see a pattern develop? Okay. Third statement. As God works through His church, it is a work for eternity. As God works through His church, it is a work for eternity. So how's that speak to you? Several years, we tried to keep those children out of there. Have it all neat, you know. You just come by and look. Come on, everybody look. Get out of your cars. We even had people that would escort the folks from their cars out there, walk this way and walk right by. But as soon, you know, life happened when the children got involved. Because when the children got involved, what went out the window? Plan, order, all that pretend, like, because I guarantee you there's just as many of those adults wanting to go in there and Yeah, I'd like to pet those animals. I'd like to get in there and see that. And so, you know, that there, what did Jesus say that all of us have to come like, we read this about 4 weeks ago, this passage. We've got to come like little children. What does that mean? Very simple. Okay, well, Donnie's got us cranking there. As a church, as God works through His church, it is a work for eternity. I love what this pastor friend of mine, I heard him preaching years ago, he said, look around you, that some of these people that you don't like right now, they're getting on your nerves. Better pray for God to do a work to get you ready for eternity, because you're going to be with one another forever and ever and ever. Amen. He's doing that work of sanctification, which is His present work of making us holy. That's part of our salvation. Justification is part of our salvation, the past tense of our salvation. This is what God has done. He saved me from my sin. Sanctification, which the word means being made holy, He is saving me now. He is fashioning me, like Bill Hymer's book, Destined for the Throne. He is getting me ready to reign with Him, and that reign, that future tense of salvation, is what? I give you a gold star if you get this theological term. Huh? Who said? Somebody said it. Yes. Dr. O'Carey, showing off here in class. Yes, sir. Glorification. The glory guy. Leslie, is he sickening when he's right? Like, is he hard to live with? Okay. So what I'll give you one more shot at, as God works through His church, it is a work for eternity. Got it? All right. Here are a couple of ideas I had about that one. If you want to do something that'll last for eternity, why not think of being His church? Do you want to see real change? Do you have a vision of what God could do in Savannah? What is His preordained mechanism by which He is going to touch Savannah? What do we call it? We call it the church. It is the body of Jesus on this earth. Okay, so that statement, as God works through the church, as work for eternity, is that a public value or a house-to-house value? Check. Okay, got time for one more. Y'all have really slowed me down today. The church is open. The church is open. How's that hit you? Come on. Your heart's open, but it's open to the Lord and the way He wants to do things. The church is open. Yeah, this building could burn down. What would that happen? Let me ask you, let me put it this way. How does that statement, the church is open, how does that manifest at your job? You have a different life. Now, I'm going to ask for a little confession right now, okay? I'm not going to ask you to confess somebody else's sin. That'd be easy, wouldn't it? Especially, no, we won't go there. But are there times when you've eliminated a person or a group of people and you said, no, Lord, I'm just not, that's not my style, or I really don't have a ministry with them, or Lord, I really have a problem with being open to them. Have you been there? Have you been there? What's wrong with that attitude? And why is it sin? Can you think of someone in your life in the past that you had great conflict with, that even maybe you were an enemy, you were enemies, and then God did something miraculous, and today you're best of friends? Or you said, you know, Lord, I could never witness to that person. I could never share my faith with that person. And then what does he do? That's the very one he then... And here's another thing. Have you ever noticed how you get in conflict with somebody and it seems like that's the person that you're running into all the time? So what's God doing with that? What's up with that? There you go. Okay, so let me ask you this. So, because we're about up on time here. Is that a public value or a house-to-house value? Do you see? You see? All right. Now, so far, let me summarize here. We've made, what, 3 or 4 statements? Yeah, we got down through 4. I've given you some values of the church, and we have shown how you cannot make that a large group value, a public value, or a small group value. House to house. It's both and. What then does that tell us that we're missing out on if we're only applying that value in one of those venues? How much are we missing out on? Let's do some math here. You got 100% and you got 50 over here and 50 over here. If you're only part of one of those, what are you missing out on as far as God's work and the values He wants you to be spreading in the earth? What are you missing out on? There's an illustration of that y'all just spoke right there. Okay, you're wrangling with this. That's what I want. It's getting under your skin a little bit because it's kind of challenging some of our presuppositions and breaking down some barriers. I want you to stay with it. Now, I promised you we're going to pray, and then Daniel will get these. Won't you, dog? Okay. I want you, as soon as I get through praying, I want you to hand one of those to everybody here. Okay? Make sure you get one of these. They're mine. Oh, wait a second. Ah, yeah, y'all will forget them by next week. I've got all my secrets. I've got 7 other secrets on there that I was going to wait to share with you, but that's the way I am. That's right. It's kind of like one of my brothers. We were going through the arrival kit together. After we'd been at it a long time, he said, "You're really not interested in finishing this, are you?" And I said, "You found out my secret. That was just a foil so we could get together, pray together, and get in the Word together. It was a tool for that relationship." Let's pray. Now, Lord, the things that we have seen, heard, and experienced, Lord, I want to thank you for answers to prayer, the testimonies we've heard today of how you have worked this week. We praise you. Lord, we give ourselves to you in the dynamic process of the Holy Spirit living in and through us. Lord, make of us the tabernacle of the living God, that wherever we are, Lord, people will see the love. They'll see the kindness. They'll see the joy.
Lord, they will experience the power of God. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen.